Everything's like
Blog Talk Radio.
It's football related.
Welcome to Beauty Talk. I'm your host, Denise Snell. Thank you for joining us tonight. We invite you to ask questions and comments by dialing 914-803-4399. Again, if you have comments or questions, you can call 914-803-4399. You can also ask your comments or questions in the chat room. And normally she does the beauty news right now, but I think I'm going to save that until the end of the show, so that way we can get our guests on right away. Tim doesn't have, can't be with us for the entire show. Jump right to the show. So again, thank you, ladies, for joining us, and welcome to the show, Marietta and Kim.
Hi.
Hey, buddy, you both said it at the same time. Well, we're excited about the upcoming movie.
No, they're going to give me a choice.
Oh, I forgot.
Okay.
I'm going to get the next one.
Oh, okay. All right. You guys taking the 75?
Are you there, Marietta?
Oh, okay.
Yes, I am.
All right.
Okay. No, I heard some extra talking. I wasn't sure. But we're excited about the upcoming release of Sparkle. And correct me if I'm wrong, the movie is based in the 1960s, but the original was done in 1976. Am I correct?
Yes, you are correct. Yeah, okay. But it was actually based out of the 50s, even though it was 50, shot in the 70s.
50?
It was shot in the 70s, but based in the 50s. Yeah.
Yeah, right. Shot in the 70s, exactly, but based in the, you said, 50s.
50.
Okay. So that was my mistake. I thought it was the 60s. Okay, so it was based in the 50s. Well, okay.
The one, the new one is out of the 60s, though. The old
the new one
is 50.
Okay. A little history. And so that's being released actually this Friday, right?
What did you say?
I said that's actually being released this Friday.
Yes, it is.
Coming up. So I know you all are excited. Let's start off the show. Let me start the show by asking the both of you, describe the look that you were told by, I guess, the producers or the directors that they wanted for this movie. For hair and for makeup.
Well, I'll start. Basically, when I met with the producer, Mara Brock, and the director, Celine McKeel, they wanted the hair definitely 60s, but they also wanted to have a modern feel to it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's very 60s inspired with a modern feel so that women today could relate to the look of it. I think they wanted this to look very glamorous and, you know, definitely 60s, but have a modern feel to it so that, you know, young women could relate to it. You know what I mean?
Right.
And, you know, it was definitely, you know, based out of Detroit. So it had that Detroit flavor to it when it comes to hair. And, you know, basically when that music era was really, really hot in Detroit in the 60s. So we got inspired by a lot of the actual real Detroit artists at the time. You know, Motown was really popular at that time. but she wanted to look different from Dreamgirls because I also worked on Dreamgirls as well.
Mm-hmm.
So we just took in with the base set at the same time, the 60s as well. So she had that 60s flair, but gave it its own, you know, like another version of it.
Right. How hard was that for you, Tim, to create that look, but making sure you didn't go the Dreamgirl direction?
Yeah, that was kind of difficult because, you know, your style is your style, you know, and the thing that influenced me about, and, you know, the 60s is a very distinctive look. They had, you know, it was just a very distinctive look, and a lot of the groups looked the same, you know, back then. So really trying to make them look different was very difficult, but I would have to say our hair was a little more modern and sparkle than Dreamgirls.
Right.
So that kind of helped make it look a little different as well.
That helped, yeah. So what about you, Marietta, for the makeup?
Like Kim said, they wanted a very retro chic look for the movie, a contemporary twist on a very dated look. So we used a lot of lip glosses to help add what would normally be a more of a matte lipstick.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
We added and brought it into the 21st century using a lot more lip glosses and played with the colors, tweaked the colors quite a bit more. As opposed to just the bubblegum pink, we tweaked them and played with them to make them much more flattering in the complexions that we were doing.
Right.
You know, back then you could just pick up a tube of Max Factory Race and put it on, and it looked like your mouth had something going on. Normal, you know, that wasn't normal. So, we it looked like you were kind of sick, right? So, by adding and tweaking to suit the complexions, they were much more flattering, the lip colors this time around.
Right. I guess that kind of helps when they want to take a period look and make it modern. When you make it modern, there's really no rules, you know, like, because if you were doing something that was for the 50s or the 60s, Marietta, you know you wouldn't have used lip gloss.
Well, lip gloss wasn't invented, so we couldn't have used it.
Exactly.
It wasn't invented. So, you know, literally playing with the colors and just finding ways to make things pop. We used a lot of cream blushes, which were very common then, but we tweaked them in the placement.
Gotcha.
So, again, they were much more contemporary in the placement than they would have been in the 60s. So just a lot of little things that we use. I mean, the way we use the frost colors and the way we use the eyeshadows and just the placement of the eyeshadows and the blending technique we used was definitely not 60s, because 60s you saw a very definitive brow, crease, mm-hmm. and lid. It might have, even if it was a monochromatic, you know, you saw the crease, the lid, the brow. Whereas
right.
the way we did it, we blended a lot more with our technique and our application. We just tweaked things quite a bit more.
Gotcha.
To really give it a much more contemporary feel.
What would you both say, what makes a great period makeup artist and hairstylist?
I think one of the biggest thing is you have to understand the period. You have to know the elements of the period in order to manipulate it. You can't manipulate when you don't know the elements. So you don't know if you're correct or not if you don't know the period. So for somebody like me, I find that you need to understand how eyeliner is used, because 1960s elements were, you had to have a bat wing liner. You had a very definitive brow, crease, and lid. You needed those elements. You needed a pale lip. The cheek placement was a little bit different. So if you didn't have something, one element of those in your application, you didn't have the 1960s.
Mm-hmm.
And I would say that you definitely need to do your research. If you weren't born in the 60s, the only way you would know is to do research.
Right.
When you're born in the 50s and you're a kid growing up, you kind of
know what your mom wore and stuff,
well,
you know?
My mom did hair in the 60s, so that helped.
Oh, yeah.
She made
a big difference.
So. But yeah, I collect, like, old Ebony magazines and, you know, you can do, now with the internet, you can research and look at, like, a lot of the old look and kind of get that, the idea of how to recreate that hair. If you can do hair, you can do hair in any.
Right.
You know, one of the common things, one of the things that was that really stood out is it didn't matter if you were Caucasian or if you were African American, the same look transcended everyone.
Gotcha.
So
right.
Whether you were looking at Barbara Streisand or Twiggy or Diana Ross and the Supremes, they had the same look, the same pale mouth, the same artificial lashes, false eyelashes, lip eyeliner. The look transcended race and socioeconomic barriers.
That's true. That's so true.
What do you, how do you communicate other artists working with you? Some people who may have never necessarily worked on a show such as this, period type of. How do you communicate the skills that you want?
You want to answer that, Kim, first? Hello?
Could you ask the question again? I didn't hear all of it.
Oh, I was saying, how do you communicate to your team of artists that's working with you the look that you want, especially if there's someone who hasn't necessarily lived in that time period or know a whole lot about that period?
Well, you create visuals for them. Well, visuals is probably one of the easiest way. And then you explain or demo how to recreate that look. The visuals are important, like, you know, we do collages of hair. We put photos up in the trailer to get to, you know, to get them given an idea to what the hair should look like. You know, that's the best way to communicate that to your team.
Hey, Marietta?
Same thing. And for us, a lot of times, especially in background players, you know, the most important thing was to have a winged eyeliner. And depending on the scene, some of it might have been a red lipstick or some of it might have been a pale lipstick, a pale pink, you know, or a salmon color, depending on the scene.
Okay.
Because sometimes it wasn't necessary to get into much specifics as far as, you know, eyeshadow color. So for background in particular, it was much safer to just keep a winged eyeliner and a lipstick.
Right. Talk a little bit about the various characters in the movie, the female characters and their roles. How was each character different from the other, but still, you know,
what did you say?
Okay, I'll start with, I didn't say anything. I would say Jordan's character was, you know, young, innocent girl who has a dream of, you know, writing music, and, you know, she's, you know, very artistic in that way and very, you know, driven, but she's kind of hiding behind her sister.
Mm-hmm.
She hasn't quite realized her talent yet.
Or her beauty.
And then you have Carmen, who is the older sister, who is beautiful and has talent, but she's a little bit more racy in her decisions and in her lifestyle than all the other sisters. And then Dolores' character, played by Tika Sumpner, is the more militant type of character. And then Whitney was the mother, you know, who was, you know, she owned a dress shop and, you know, she used to sing back in the day, but she's kind of like put that behind her. And then you have Mike Epps, who plays, you know, Sister's boyfriend. You know, he's a comedian, but he's the villain of the movie. And then you have Derek Luke, who plays, you know, the manager and boyfriend of Sparkle. And, you know, he's trying to help them. You know, he's very also, you know, ambitious as well, trying to, you know, get the girls, you know, to stardom. And, you know, those are the main meat and potatoes of the characters of the movie.
What went into creating the look for the men? You mentioned the men.
You know, same thing, looking at pictures, looking at the guys, the performers, the singers back in the day, you know, things like Smokey Robinson, and, you know, they had a distinctive look back in the 60s, and the same thing, looking at pictures and photos and looking at their characters.
Marietta for the makeup.
For the men were very, very clean. You know, very trimmed, tailored mustaches. No sideburns. Very, very, very clean in their approach, actually, for the men. And the women, they went through, depending on where we were, they went through from very clean, no makeup looks to very glamorous.
Mm-hmm.
So different stages of, you know, we went from Jordan, very innocent, naive to a point, very clean, soft, very soft color, very natural looking. You know, Carmen, of course, you know, a failed modeling career.
Mm-hmm.
And she played Sista and failed modeling career. So coming back from New York, she was a little bit much more fashion forward than her other sisters, because Sparkle, again, naive, and the other sister, Dolores, is a med student. She's a pre-med student, so she's going off to medical school. So, of course, she's definitely not as hip as Sister is. So Sister sets the trend for them to go to.
Right. Right.
So that was, we were very mindful of trying to keep that look. And even when they do the performances, pretty much it was as though Sister was making them up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, not us making them up. It was as though Sister was making them up. What would Sister do to make them look the way?
Right.
That they're going to look to go on stage. And that's what we had to keep in mind was, you know, definitely Sister was going to be going, you can't go out looking like this. This is how you're going to go. So it was using Sister's expertise in makeup, I should say, to help us get there.
Well, how much of an input did the actresses have when it came to their hair and makeup and how they wanted to look? I mean, I know you all have
a whole lot of input. They had some very definitive idiosyncrasies, I should say, that they wanted to add to their characters.
Okay.
Yeah, they had ideas about what they wanted. I mean, you know, most artists have ideas about what they want to do, but, you know, there's only so much you can do in the 60s. It's a period piece, so at that point they have to really rely a lot on what, you know, what the research of it was and what we needed to, you know, create for the characters. But yeah, they, you know, they definitely had input of what their character was like, because in a way they're creating that character as well.
Right.
So, yeah, eventually they're creating those characters.
Yeah, I mean, you know, that's the one thing when you're doing this, but you're limited by the parameters. You have certain parameters that you have to fall within if you want it to be as authentic as possible to the period.
Right.
So they stayed within those parameters, you know, and then the little nuances that made up each individual character, of course, is what, again, that's what made them
what made, you know, Dolores Dolores and Sister Sister and Sparkle Sparkles, because all the little idiosyncrasies that could differentiate them from each other.
Right. Mm-hmm. So I'm getting ready to take a call. Let's see here. Hello? Hello, caller?
Oh, hello. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can. Who is this?
This is Brandolyn.
Hey, Brandolyn, how are you?
Ben! I'm pretty good. How are you?
I'm good.
Really happy to hear about the movie Sparkle, and I'm glad that we're able to talk to Marietta and Kim. How are you ladies doing tonight?
Fine, Brandolyn. How are you?
We're good. How are
pretty
you?
Good. I'm pretty good. Well, first, I'm excited because, I know, you know, who works on the show, and I'm just loving hearing about just the some of the things from the back end and creating the looks and things of that nature. Also, I'm from Detroit, so I'm really happy that a movie was filmed there, and so that kind of makes me happy. I hope you guys enjoyed yourself while you were there.
Yes, we did.
And so I wish I was there. I would have shown you some love, you know. You could have went to my mom's house. We could have had dinner.
Boy, we could have used that a couple of times.
I'm sure, you know, my mom would have loved to be in the trailer, you know, bringing you guys dinner. But I had a question when you were talking about modernizing the looks and the decisions that you make to do some. And I just wanted to know, did you ever get to a point where you modernized it, but then you felt the need to pull back? So, like, you tried a few things out, and that just was too much. Could you, or did you have any, like, situations like that?
Yeah, I know we had a couple of times like that. But from a makeup standpoint, yeah, we, you know, we tried a few things that just didn't work.
Can you talk more about, like, what you guys tried and it didn't work, or did you add, like, this type of gloss and it, like, was too much shimmer, or you tried a look and it just wasn't, you know, is there, like, a particular types of things that as makeup artists we may want to know, or even, like, with hairstyling and movement that, you know, in order to keep things more period, you just have to kind of do those things no matter what, or it's going to completely take it out of, like, the element.
For me, I know I tried some lipstick colors, and it just were too strong for the period, you know. You know, especially some of those, they weren't reds. They were more like somehow a cross between a pink and a red. Like, you know, some might even be magentas, and it just didn't work for the period. They just were way, way too strong. Because either you needed that red, where, you know, because red carried over no matter what.
Right.
So either you needed that red or you needed the right kind of pink. And I got to tell you, challenging sometimes to find the right kind of pink. Because
right.
It looks one way, and then when you put it on, especially depending on the complexion, it reads a whole different way. And so it was tricky. I mean, probably sometimes I had a dozen pinks in front of me that I just couldn't use any of them. And I also used a couple of, I want to say, pencils. And the blending, you just couldn't blend them because they dried. They didn't give you any time to blend. They dried so quickly, they had no blending power whatsoever. So that was very tricky. So it's like, note to self, never use that pencil again.
And then my last question is, I know that we've in a lot of the chat rooms online and things of that nature amongst artists, and I know it's a point that I try to make all the time, even within theater, is that as a makeup artist, you do have some, you know, control over the look, but that there's so many different opinions and smudge and people who have a say-so in the overall look of a person's, you know, of a person's look or a character's look. And I just want to know from a film standpoint, who are those people that you collaborate with to make sure that the makeup goes with the outfit and that it goes with the scene? And, you know, who are those people that kind of help you make those decisions?
Well, the producers had some very definitive looks that they want. I mean, because I came onto the show when the show had already started, and I remember literally sitting there doing makeup as the producer and the producer/writer sat there and stared at me as I was applying every brush stroke that I took, they were staring at. And,
right.
I got to tell you, that was quite unnerving for me.
Right.
Hello?
Sophia, I think that a lot of times, people think that as makeup artists, it's just, I mean, it is our creation to the point where we're creating the look, you know, organically from our hands to the person's face. But I think that, you know, it's always good to know what people have a say-so and how, you know, and how involved other people, you know, in the industry have and what to expect their opinion, how it does affect what we do, you know, as the final look. So I just think that's interesting. And I know that you said it was unnerving, but did it at least allow you to feel like you were giving them what they wanted?
Well, at one point it was specifically vague. I didn't know what they want.
Okay.
Because interpretation is everything. And what happens is, from a layman's standpoint, when they want one thing and the way they're in, well, how you call it, and how I hear it is something totally different. So from a makeup artist standpoint, if you tell me you want a no makeup look, I know where I'm going. But if you tell me something totally different, I'm going to interpret it differently. So
right.
Interpretation is everything. So it's understanding exactly what a person wants, and that's the tricky part, because you've got the artist who have their own concept of how they feel the character should be. You've got the producer who feel how they feel the character should be. And you've got the director who's really, that's his vision that you're interpreting. For real. So
right.
It's very, very tricky. And then you, as a trained professional, understanding the elements that's needed to get there. So then you've got to combine all of this stuff to get the end result. And sometimes you don't know what the end result is going to be until you actually do it.
Right.
So it's tricky sometimes, deliverance.
My question is, what are you both, besides your work, what are you both excited to see in this movie when it comes out?
Oh, my God.
Well, what I'd like to see is, of course, I'd like to see her to start a trend. Of course, because I think the hair and makeup is modern, and maybe there's an influence of, you know, the fashion from the movie, as far as the clothes and the hair. But also, you know, just for it to be, you know, a smash hit, because, you know, it was looking, Love Child. She, you know. This is a movie she had been wanting to do for a while, so, you know, for her, I would love to see the movie be a success, and then people learn from, you know, the story. Of course, there's a story in the film that you can learn from, you know, that anybody who, you know, can believe in something, achieve it, you know, work hard at it, and I think that definitely comes across in the story, and, I think there's a lot to take from this.
I'm excited to just see the whole package come together. You know, the hair, the makeup, the wardrobe, the lighting. Because, you know, the lighting makes all of our stuff look really good. So I'm excited to see the whole package. And then just the storyline of just to see how the storyline flows.
Right.
Because, you know, we shoot in bits and pieces. So when you actually see that come together, that's what I'm excited about, to see it come together, to see Whitney's vision up on that big screen, just to see it all played out. So I'm excited about all of the above. And maybe setting a few trends.
Yeah, really. Really. Because I know everybody wants to know, I guess, what was some of your favorite Whitney moments while filming?
Singing. Well, of course, mine was always
every morning she would come in the trailer. She would, I mean, every day I saw her was a great Whitney moment. She'd come in the trailer, she'd speak to everybody, you know. She played gospel music. We'd be in there listening to Fred Hammond and Kim Burrell. But I have to say my most favorite moment was when we were on set and George Parks was trying to teach her how to do with Dougie. And Whitney Houston was Dougie. With George Parks. That was that classic Sparkle behind the scenes moment.
And Marietta?
I just love it in the morning when she would just come in and just put a tape on and just start to sing. Just, yeah, I mean, it just was like having your own personal Whitney Houston concert in the morning.
I'm sorry, I was going to say, do you think that this particular version of Sparkle will be as accepted as the first? I mean, I know Whitney is in it, and a lot of people are going to want to go see it just because of that. But do you think as far as, you know, because everybody loves the original, do you think just from what you can see from the filming and the actors, performance, hair, makeup, wardrobe, and all that, do you think that this will be something like another classic of Sparkle?
It's got potential to be, because this, you know, this is shot very differently than the original Sparkle, of course. You know that. So this is all in high definition. So the clarity, the lighting is different from a production value. There's no comparison.
Right.
We cling to the first one because that's part of our blaxploitation heritage, really.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a very interesting dynamic. As a matter of fact, there's a really wonderful article by Nelson George in the New York Times today that compares the two and the dynamics of both of them.
Right.
So I think it's going to have strong points from both of them that we're going to relate to.
Right.
You know, I think, you know, there's one part of you is going to hold on to that original Sparkle because that's what it was. It's got those memories. It's got all of those things, those elements that we loved, you know, because of the era that it was shot in, and that was a huge part of us really coming on the big screen. And then you've got this one, which is a similar but different storyline.
Right.
Well, what my thoughts on it is that, you know, the first one is definitely a cult classic. Even though it wasn't, I think this was going to definitely open up much bigger than the original one, just because of the time we're in and the internet, and they probably had more of a budget to push the actual film. So I think this was definitely going to succeed and open bigger than the original. But the first one is definitely a cult classic. It was one of those sleeps, like, you know, that everybody saw, but it wasn't as popular as this one's going to be because it's going to have more international recognition because of who's in the film. You've got like a big, you know, big mega, you know, music stars in it that have a huge following. So that's the difference that I feel that this one's going to have on this one.
Right. Now let me ask you, ladies, especially before Kim has to leave. Talk a little bit about how you go about choosing who's going to work with you. Because I know every time I do a job or get hired to do a job, you know, I always like to have my sister with me, not just because she's my sister, but because I know that she's very strong at certain things, and I know certain things will get done, and I don't have to worry about it. So speak a little bit about how you go about choosing who works with you on your projects.
Well, for me, you know, because it's a period piece, for one, I mean, a lot of times I work with my mom because we work well together. I mean, first off, you know, it's about your personality of who you work with and your team. And then you get the people that are best for the job. So I knew the 60s.
Right,
right. Hair based out of the 60s. My mother did hair in the 60s, so she'd be a big asset to me. She knew a lot of the groups back then. She knew the styling back then, so she could help me a lot. Plus, she's good with, you know, certain things that I like that she does. So she was one. And then, of course, I had to hire local people in Detroit. And, you know, I interviewed a stylist there, and it was Shannon Bigman, who was very good, and she could do a lot because it was a large cast, and I needed someone who was versatile with cutting men's hair, doing women's hair. So that was another thing that I looked for on this particular project. But it's really based on how large the project is. It's based
right.
on the budget. It's based on the experience of the person. It really depends on the type of hair that needs to be done. As a department head or a leader of a project such as this, you have to understand your script, break it down, and hire people that are going to be best for the job.
Right.
Right.
Marietta?
Hello?
What about you, Marietta?
For this movie, it's very different than I ever worked in my entire career. Because I came into a department that was already there. And that presented a lot of challenges for me. Because that's not something that normally happens. So unlike Kim, who had a chance to prepare for the movie, I didn't have a chance to prepare for the movie. So I came in feeling lost. And not really having, normally when I work and, you know, you have that right-hand person. I didn't have a right-hand person, so I had nobody behind me. I was on my own, so it was quite challenging for me. But I like to hire someone who I know understands how I work, and a lot of it's personality, and who can think ahead of me. I've always been able to have that when I've done especially a period show.
But you have strong leadership, so the one good thing of experience that Marietta has, she's able to train people and delegate what she needs to delegate to.
Right.
Even though you were in a
Kim had my back, I gotta tell you.
sometimes you're not gonna always get to hire the people you want.
Sometimes
right. you get called in a last minute job and you don't know, you're not prepared. But when you've been doing this, when you're pros like Marietta and I, when you get in these situations, you're able to jump in and you're able to make it work. That shows strong leadership, and that shows a person. You're definitely, that's why you were hired for the job, because you are, definitely qualified and could do it, and, you made it work. I mean, I think from what I see, the makeup looks beautiful, and, everybody looks beautiful in the film. At the end of the day, that's what we want.
Absolutely.
Right.
Oh, yeah. I'm very happy with the end result. I can't wait to see it up on screen. I can't wait, but the only person I knew coming in there, and I hadn't even met her, was Kim. And I knew of her, but we never met. So at least I felt comfortable with Kim.
Mm-hmm.
Because I got off a plane and literally came to the set. And it's different if you're just coming in to do one person and stuff. But when you're coming in to take over a show, it presents it. You can see me sweating inside, Kim, but boy, I was sweating inside. Quite a few days.
Yeah, but what? I'm sure that was the longest 7 weeks of your life.
Let me tell you, there's some days, and the days, we had a lot of fun. I have some great pictures of us in the trailer. I got to tell you, I was looking at them today. Really wonderful pictures. But, at the end of the day, when you've clocked 86, the end of the week,
pictures.
I just say, what?
You need to send me some of those pictures.
I will. When you've clocked 87 hours a week, let me tell you, many a night I stumbled into every wall there was trying to find my way home.
turtle puppets. Oh my God,
wow. This woman is doing that for a turtle.
Oh God, these people are crazy. Yeah, I try to find my, you know, I bumped into every wall, literally in that hotel lobby, on that hotel floor, trying to find my way to my room. It was crazy, because at the end of the night, we were tired. But there were a little bit of saving moments where we had those, what are they called? Oh, my goodness, those margaritas, what are they called? What were they?
Oh, lemon meringue
margaritas.
The hotel.
The best in Detroit.
Yeah, Detroit, yes. That was our way day tail moment.
Oh, my goodness, the best ever. Let me tell you, those really took the edge off of a hard day.
You know, I have to ask you this while you're on the call. Okay, so the last time you were on the show, you didn't talk a lot about it, but, you know, you mentioned your new reality show. Okay, so the reality show comes on, and I'm watching the first night, and I'm like, no way, this is not happening. You know, I'm not a big reality TV watcher, so, you know, the smallest amount of drama is a lot of drama to me, so I'm thinking, oh, my God, this is not happening. So I didn't watch the next few episodes, and then I said, okay, I'm going to go back and see what's going on. And so, you know, I got caught up on demand on all the episodes. And I must really say, I'm like hooked watching the show now. And there are so many, lessons to learn, especially, I mean, for an artist in general, but also, you know, particularly for a hairstylist. It's amazing. I'm like, there's, you know, you see, I've seen so many over the years, so many artists like some of the ones in your salon or, you know, on the mm-hmm. show. And, you know, you see so many different types, and I'm like, you know, I'm hoping that there are a lot of, especially new hairstylists that are out there that want to do what you're doing. I'm like, I'm hoping that they're watching because there's so many lessons to learn from that show. It's amazing. And I'm like, okay, this girl has too much going on. A salon, you know, getting the new salon together. Hair care line. Movies after movies, television shows after television shows, working with, you know, artists one-on-one. It's really amazing, and I just have to applaud you for all of your success and for how hard you work, because I'm looking at this show, you know, and I know we don't see everything on the show. I know there's a lot of things, you know, just for filming's sake that we just don't know or see, but I'm like, the girl is working like crazy, and you can tell by the show, you know, whether anyone knows you or not, you can really tell by the show that you're working a lot, and so I just have to just applaud you for all that you do. It's a good show. Like I said, there's so many things people can learn from that show.
You're an honorary West Indian, Kim. You got three jobs.
So I mean, it's just amazing to see. How do you balance? How do you find balance to be able to do it all?
Did we lose Kim?
Kim?
Yeah, I think we did. I think we lost her.
I'm still here.
Okay, she's back.
Oh, okay, yeah. I could hear you, but you couldn't hear me. The call dropped out.
Okay, you heard me. Okay. I was just saying, how do you find balance? Because you do so much, and I was just commending you for all that you do and all your hard work. How do you find balance? Because you're doing a little bit of everything.
Well, thank you. I mean, thank you, for your compliments on the show. I appreciate that. And, you know, it is hard work. It takes a lot. I mean, there's definitely a lot of lessons in that that I'm still even learning. The key word is balance. You have to have, you know,
You have to be focused on what you want to do and know what you want to do and know what your vision is. And for me, this is a season of what I call, this is my sacrificing season. This is my season when I'm on my grind. I'm working right now, you know, because I have a goal at the end, and that goal keeps me focused on what I want to do. But also, you know, you have to prioritize. You have to definitely create a balance in your life. I mean, you have to work, but then you have to have time for yourself where you relax. You know when to push yourself and when not, you know, when to pull back from pushing yourself too hard when you're working.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, you have to have a great team of people behind you and a great team of working with you. Take the team to do what I have to do. You know, I have a client that I work with. I have a salon to run. I have to have great stylists, a great team. And you have to keep working at it till you find the right team players and team members. And it's all about leadership and being a good leader when you are in the position that I am in. You have to be a good leader. You have to lead your team. And that's the most important part, because you have to share that vision of what you want to do with them and make sure they understand your vision. And you want people around you to have your vision. Now, unfortunately, everybody, you know, doesn't have your vision, and you have to understand
right.
that. You have to learn, you know, we've got to learn when the, you know, the first thing you have to do, you can't always cancel people out, just throw them out. Sometimes you have to work with them.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You have to sometimes show them with love. You have to have love in your heart. You know, like me, I you have to have patience, and you have to have love, because nobody's perfect. I've been in salons for years. You're going to always have people like Angela and China and their area and Dante. You're always going to have people like that. And you have to learn how to deal with people with love. And, you know, because I think that love conquers all.
Right.
People, you know, that one minute, you know, you can't, just because they're being mean or they're, you know, throwing rocks at you, don't mean you have to, you know, retaliate the same way. Because I think they, you know, at the end of the day, I just believe that you reap what you sow. God, you know, God's his children. You know, you got to treat them with love. I mean, but you also got to understand, too, but you got to check them. You can't let people just run over you and talk crazy
right.
to you and do you kind of what you do. You definitely have to let them know, but you have to do it with love. I can't think on their level. I can't fight like they fight.
Right.
You know, I've got
right.
I have to be the bigger person. And because you are, when you are, much is given, much is required. You're a leader, you have to be a leader. You cannot, you know, get down on their level and act like them.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're in that position. So more is expected of you. And you have to lead by example. Maybe they look at me and say, you know, I like the way she acted. I'm going to be like her. I'm going to stop acting like this. You never know.
Right. Absolutely. And you said something that was key, and that's, you know, staying focused on your goal. And it's so obvious on your show that that's what you do, because sometimes you even often say that to some of the stylists, you know, like, you know, you have to remember, you know, think about the bigger picture or what you're going after here, you know, because some of them get so caught up in, like, small, minor things that really at the end of the day it's not even important. There's no reason to even be upset about it or what have you. But thinking more about the bigger goal. And then you also mentioned, you know, like you have to have that balance. You have to have the great team working behind you and supporting you. And, you know, you have to take the time for yourself and know when to push yourself and when not to push yourself. Yeah, and it's really obvious on the show. But now I can't wait to see what happens on the second date, but I'll wait to see it, watch the show.
Yeah, that's interesting.
I'll wait to watch the show.
Yeah, well, we're praying and believing that we're going to get a second season, so we'll see what happens.
Yeah.
We have a little bit of time before, you know, we'll know this week if there's a second season.
Oh, okay, you find out this week. Okay.
Yeah.
So how is the new salon going?
It's going well. It's going well. We're in there. We're up and running, and very excited about it. That tomorrow I'm actually having meetings with new stylists. You know, we're staffing up our salon, new hair stylists. That's going well.
Good.
Very good, very good. And so any plans for future salons in other locations?
Absolutely. That's what I'm believing for right now. I'm working on it. That's definitely the plan.
We know you are.
Yep.
We know that you are.
Tell us about a friend.
Well, is there anything else you ladies want to say just about the industry that you work in, the movie that's coming out, or anything that you're doing, want people to know about?
I have my blog going now. I just started my blog all week long. I'm going to be doing blogging something, you know, just everything leading up to Sparkle, how I got the movie, and, you know, the interview process, everything that I went through to, you know, and ended up on the movie. And then I'm going to break down the different looks that I used in Jordan.
Mm-hmm.
And show photos and photos behind the scenes. So that's on my blog, Diary of a Makeup Artist.
And you know what, Marietta, when I saw the title of your blog, I was like, oh, my goodness. You know, about a year ago, I said I wanted to do a personal blog with that title, and I never did. So now I can't use that title because you have it.
I've actually had that going for, like, the last 3-4 years. But, you know,
in
life sometimes happens that, you know, you can't blog
right.
every day. I can't, you know. So I made a conscious effort that, you know, so many potential makeup artists have asked me, you know, how did you get started, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, and I'm reinventing myself all over again because I took a break from the industry to raise my son. But my, you know, my kid is now in college. So, it, you know, they keep asking me the same questions. I went to the makeup show in Chicago and things like that. So I thought, you know, well, let me just put it in writing so that they could see that, you know, I go through some of the same fears and vulnerabilities that they go through.
Right.
And, you know, so I put it in writing so that they could actually read and see what I went through and what I go through.
Before we finish up with you, Marietta, we just want to say thank you one more time to Kim Kimble for joining us tonight. She has to get off the line, but continued success to you, Kim. We'll be watching the show. We'll be listening out to see if there's going to be a season 2, and we can't wait to see your work on Sparkle, and then maybe sometime down the road we can get you back on.
Thank you. And also, I just want to let everybody know I just launched a new website, kimblebeauty.com. You know, I've launched a new product, and our products are in Target stores as well. But I want to say thank you for having me on, and I'm excited about Sparkle, and I hope everybody loves it. And, you know, if there's a season 2, we'll definitely be back on. So
yeah.
We'll see what's going on in season 2. Give you a little sneak peek at what's happening in the future.
Right.
And Kimble Hair Studio. All right, thank you.
Thank you again, Kim.
Thank you.
Bye,
Kim.
Right.
Bye, bye, Marietta.
Take care. Right,
have a good night. So, Marietta, is period makeup like your first love when it comes to makeup?
I didn't hear you say that again.
I said, is period makeup like your first love when it comes to makeup?
Actually, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I love the 1940s. That's, like, my favorite all-time look ever. I think it's probably one of the hardest makeups to do because it's so clean and so sophisticated.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
Those red lips and, you know, it's a challenging makeup to do. It looks easy because it's so clean. But it's a challenging
mm-hmm.
makeup to do. And that's, like, my all-time favorite.
Now,
because
is that something that you're going to teach on your online classes? Because you've launched that already, right?
I did a soft launch, and, you know, sometimes the challenges of life get in the way.
right.
So, I'm still going through a lot because I just lost my father. And it's been very difficult. Because actually, like, 2 days after my dad passed, I was on a plane
to Los Angeles to do that shoot with Essence magazine, and then from there I flew to New York to do, so I literally went to L.A., shot Essence, then got on a red eye and flew to New York and did Jordan for the cover of Ebony magazine that is currently out now, the September issue of Ebony with the three of them on the cover. And and we shot, and my call time was supposed to be 2 o'clock in the afternoon, and they moved it up to 8 in the morning, so I literally went from the airport to the set, and I cleaned up in the bathroom and literally changed my clothes in the bathroom and started work because I was like the first one there. And from there, and I came back to, I took a 6 o'clock flight back to Florida and packed my stuff and flew to Barbados that night to bury my dad. So it's been very challenging for me.
Wow.
But, you know, those are the things that you go through. And, you know, sometimes people don't understand why you don't do or say anything, but it's because, you know, sometimes a string of events that you have absolutely no control over takes over, and that's what I've been dealing with lately. So I you know, this is to take a break from what I've been going through is great, to be able to just sit and talk to you guys. Because if I describe to you what my house looks like now, I am living, I am literally living upstairs in my house because my downstairs is under complete, like literally down to the bare cement wall renovation because of water damage. So it has been quite challenging. Yeah, it's been more than I can even describe sometimes. And I stopped talking to people lately because it's like, you know, from my dad to this, it's like, you know, nobody wants to hear all this depressing stuff. So, yeah, it's been challenging, but I keep my head to the grindstone and I keep my head forward. And you know, because what happens is I find that a lot of makeup artists think, you know, they think that their struggles are the only ones when they're starting out. And they don't realize that even seasoned artists have trials and tribulations and challenges too. And the older you get, the more life challenges you have. And because we're part of the, you know, I am part of the sandwich generation now because I'm trapped between my kid and my parents.
Right.
So, it, you know, and they both need us at the same time. So it's
right.
Different. We have different challenges. So, you know, I say that to say that don't feel that you're the only one that's going through it and it's difficult for just you. It's difficult for all of us. But what makes it worthwhile is that when you keep your nose to the grindstone and you keep focused on what you have to accomplish or what you want to accomplish as opposed to what you have to go through to get there, it's all worth it in the end. So don't give up. Don't feel that you can't do it and you can't go on and you can't move forward, you know, because you can. And don't sweat the stuff that you have no control over, you know, because the life challenges sometimes you have no control over. So you just have to keep your nose focused on what you want to achieve.
Right.
That's so true. And I just wanted to say you looked absolutely beautiful in that Essence print.
Really? Thank you. I really appreciate that. Thank you very much. I don't even think I might have been there physically, but mentally I was so not there.
Right.
So, you know, it's, you know, sometimes you really got to let God take over and do what God's supposed to do. You know, when we step in and we try to do God's work, we mess up. So I just kind of just let go and let God.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
You know, so I'm so excited for Sparkle because it's, you know, a lot of people thought that I crawled under a rock. and I didn't crawl under a rock. I just took a break from the industry just so I could raise my son. But I never stopped doing makeup.
Right.
I love makeup. I mean, I eat, sleep, and breathe makeup. You know, I have more makeup than I have clothes. So
we're all.
You know. So I never stopped doing makeup. I did it in so many other different forms, but I wasn't doing it on the set like I used to.
But you know what, Marietta, the one thing that I admire about you, because I remember the time when you stopped doing makeup, you know, you moved to Florida, you raised your son, stopped doing makeup, but, you know, you remained very humble because, you know, you work in a department store at the counter, you've been teaching, you've been still doing makeup in some sort of way, but, mm-hmm. you know, there were a lot of people maybe on the East Coast that didn't know you or weren't very familiar with you and didn't really know your resume, you know, and all of the great things that you've done and all of the great, you know, artists that you've worked, you know, actors that you've worked with. People just didn't know, but I like how you remained humble, and then it's almost like, you know, this is your comeback, so to speak. I mean, even though you started trying to get back into doing this now that your son, you know, is off at college, but it's like, you know, you are humbly approaching, you know, this business in a way that's really great to see. And it's not like you walked around or went around saying, hey, you know who I am? You know, I'm Marietta, and I did this, that, and the other. You know, you weren't doing that. You know,
thank you. No, I did. You know what? I had to prove myself all over again here in Florida. I spent my life proving myself, you know, and I did it. I did what I had to do, and I think sometimes we get so caught up in, like, oh, this is what I've done, and I don't need to do that again. I mean, I there were a couple of things that I had a cutoff point where I said, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to do that. But I was never too proud to go out and do a wedding mm-hmm. and work with somebody's budget or, you know, I mean, for crying out loud, I was 2 years behind the makeup counter at Saks, okay? That was, like, for me, the epitome of, like, what am I doing?
Right.
And I did it, and I gave myself 2 years, and I met a lot of people while I was there, and it was tricky, and it was tough for me, I got to tell ya. But I did it anyway.
But you know what I find out, though, when you said you weren't too proud to do a wedding, what I find sometimes is a lot of times when you do the weddings or when you work at the counters and you meet those women, those are the people who are the friends of the directors, the cousins of the producers, you know, those people who always, for some reason, they always lead you to that bigger gig. Like, I mean, not every person that comes to the counter, but it's like sometimes you'll work with people, and the more people you work with, you run into, you know, it may not be Steven Spielberg's cousin, you know, but a producer who may get you on an independent film project that may, you know, you never know, may win Sundance or something. But it's like,
no, it didn't happen for me in Florida here, okay?
It didn't happen for you? Okay. Well,
no,
let me encourage somebody else then.
Maybe somebody else came in that day. You know what happened? You know, it's so funny because being at the Saks counter, first of all, they didn't know what to do with me. Can I tell you that they took bets when they hired me about how long I would last?
Oh, God.
Human resources and the manager of the cosmetics, they took bets. They said, I don't even get for 2 weeks here. They were shocked that I lasted 2 months because I challenged them every day. They didn't know what to do with me because they could get me to dress the way they wanted me to dress. It was hard for me to clock in and clock out. They wanted numbers and I wanted to do makeup. It was quite, and if they didn't have it in Lancome, I walked over to whatever line had it. You know, and I did makeup, and I pulled it over for the customer. And I was, you know, it was bad because sometimes I would say, well, they just don't have what you're looking for here. Go over to this store. So it was tricky working with me because I had a mind all my own, and I didn't need a boss. And when my boss tried to boss me around, it became challenging, you know. And they got a kick out of me. Because, and they go, well, they told me I added color to the department. So
And I took the high road on that one, okay? Because my clothes are very colorful. So I took the high road. And I made it fun for me. And I had, I got to tell you, I had some great customers that they would just come into the mall and just come in to say hi to me. Because I was honest with them. I was honest with them. And they loved that about me because I was honest with them, you know. And if we didn't have it, I didn't try to sell them what we didn't have.
Right.
You know, so I, you know, integrity goes a long way.
Absolutely.
You know, integrity goes a long way. And I knew that I just wanted to keep my hands in makeup because, you know, if you don't, you lose it. It's like everything else. And I wanted to stay current. And the fastest way to stay current is to be in the store with the products that are coming out. And I love that.
Right, exactly.
And you know, and that's one of the biggest things that we can do as makeup artists is stay current, you know. And so I never felt like I was an old fuddy-duddy, you know, over-the-hill person. Because I was current, and I knew all the current trends and techniques and stuff, and that's what I do. It's you got to stay current.
Right.
You know, when you do all the, you know, when you do, Jordan is 20, 22 years old. So you have
right.
to stay current to do somebody like Jordan.
That's so true. That's true.
You know, so it makes a huge difference. And you know, retail also helps you build speed. And I say to somebody who's starting out, that's the fastest way for you to build speed and build confidence. Because you know what? You can always wipe it off if they don't like it.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
You know? And there's no hard feelings.
Right.
So it's the fastest way to stay current and to really build up speed, build up technique, build up confidence, all the above, and get to know product, build up your product knowledge too.
Absolutely.
You know, it's a huge, you know. I mean, that to me is like the best advice I give to my young start now. Whatever you do, put those goals down on paper.
That's right. So how many times are you going to go out and see Sparkle?
Me?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I don't know. I'm trying to put a Sparkle party together for Friday. Now, guys, all y'all got to go out and support this movie. And
of
you
got to
stay for the end credits. It's not to go to see the movie. You got to go to see my credits name, my credits roll on the
right.
screen. That's what you're going for. So let's be
right.
realistic
right.
about it.
Marietta, I am going to scream when I see your name. I'm going to scream. And I'm going to tell everybody.
Yeah. I'm going to take some people with me, and I'm going to tell them to do the same.
You know, that you know, it's like it's so exciting for me to you know, I'm actually having so much fun writing my blog.
Mm-hmm.
Because
I can't wait for the next post.
Yeah, because I want to be as honest as I possibly can, so that people understand what you do go through. I don't want to sugarcoat stuff for people.
Right.
You know, so, you know, and I'm so I want you all to go on there and follow it, you know, join it so that I can see the numbers grow.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Don't just go and read it, join it so I can, you know, see those numbers grow too.
Right, exactly.
Don't make me beg, okay? Don't make me beg.
Don't do that.
You know.
And Marietta, when you get the time and you know, get settled and what have you, we've got to get back to putting our class together.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah, most definitely. I'm waiting for Viola to get me over to Detroit. Mm-hmm. I know you heard that, Viola, right, Viola? I know you heard that. and to come to Atlanta. You know?
Oh, my God.
And stuff, yeah. You know, going back to Sparkle, working in the trailer with Kim Kimball, you know, it's like when I walked in that first day and seeing Kim's face, you know, seeing Kim's face, that was like a breath of fresh air for me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because that took the edge off.
Do you think, Marietta, do you think it was like a breath of fresh air for you because you walked in and you saw, I mean, even though you never met before, but you saw a person that you've heard of, you know about her background and her professionalism,
mm-hmm.
so you just felt comfortable that you at least had a team member that you could count on.
It most definitely. That was a huge, because I didn't know how I was going to be received. You don't know how you're going to be received, you know what I mean?
Right.
It's nerve-wracking because, you know, everybody's in, they're already into all of the you know, it's like starting school, and literally the teams have been formed already.
Right.
You know, it's like coming to junior high school, everybody's got a best friend already, and you came in with no best friend because you just got there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so, yeah, so. It's a little tricky.
It's important for other artists to know, just like you both mentioned earlier, it's important that other artists know that it's not only about if you can do the job. Yes, you need to be able to do the job. That's how you get there. But then it's also about, like you were saying, you know, personality. You know, who am I going to be? Who is this person I'm working with? You know.
Oh, God, yeah.
Because if you and the person that you're working with can't get along, doesn't matter how great of an artist you are, it's not going to work.
Most definitely. I mean, working in a trailer, working on a film, it's literally 1% of your artistic ability and 99% of your personality. Because I know for me, when an actor walks into the trailer, if our personalities doesn't click, it doesn't matter what I can do or can't do. It's not going to work.
It's not going to work.
It's not going to work. And that happened on Sparkle, too. It happened with a few actors. And I'm not going to call names or anything, but, you know, it's like one person in particular. You know, we just, that person came in with a whole laundry list of stuff, and it was like, you know what, I'm not going to be doing that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it just didn't work. It just didn't work. So a lot of it has to do with personality. You know, and I know other features that I've worked on, you know, actors have walked into the trailer and it's like, oh, no, so-and-so is going to be doing you, not me. You know, because personality-wise, I knew it was just didn't work. You can't explain it. It just doesn't work. You just don't see eye to eye.
Right.
So a lot of it is personality, you know. And you know, being a department head is organization. It's delegating, you know, and when you're running a show like that, and when, you know, for me, this show was really, really tough, not only the long hours, and, you know, I'm no spring chicken anymore, so, you know, I'm no slouch either, but I'm no spring chicken, but you know, 18, 20 hours on a set every day is quite a bit of stamina needed for that, but, you know, Jordan was in every scene, pretty much, so it was really hard to do anybody else. Jordan.
Yeah.
And deal with all the other stuff that was going on at the same time. I mean, literally, she was in every scene. And you know, I started off doing her and Whitney, but it was impossible. Impossible. Absolutely impossible to do. So I only did Whitney for like a week on the movie. Plus, Whitney wanted more makeup than I, huh?
Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead. Finish your thought.
No, I was about to say Whitney wanted a lot more makeup.
A lot more makeup.
You know. I apply. Okay. I'm hearing feedback. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Yeah, but I'm hearing feedback as well.
Yeah. I didn't have that before. I just started hearing it. Is that better now?
Yeah. I can still hear it, but it's fine.
There was a point where it was like I could only put on this much. And hello?
Yes. Speak a little bit, Marietta. It's something you were touching on a little bit about, you know, working 18 or 20 hours a day. Because I think some makeup artists are just not really facing reality when it comes to this whole, you know, the whole film business and what it really, like, you know.
Well, because I think one of the issues is it has to do with schools. And the industry as a whole, even when we go to makeup shows, film is not emphasized. People don't understand film. This is a print world. The shows are based and geared towards print. And A lot of these young artists, they don't realize how to deal with film.
Right.
There's a certain amount of stamina that's necessary to survive in film.
Well, I tell you, my sister can tell you too. If you fall asleep when you're on the set with me, I'm taking pictures, and you never know when they're going to be posted.
Oh yeah, I have quite a few really wonderful pictures of me. They had to sleep on the set when I was pregnant. I had no control over that. And they got some great pictures of me. Like, I mean, it wasn't even just fast asleep. Like, I was comatose. You know, I was completely comatose. It was like, whoa, wow, when did they take that?
Right.
You know, but yeah, it requires, and I think that's one of the biggest things is schools are teaching a lot of these students how to apply prosthetics, but not how to become film makeup artists.
Right.
And because you apply prosthetics, they're teaching them more lab work than film work.
Yeah.
And there's a big gap there. So they don't have the techniques. They don't have. They don't understand. They just don't understand what's necessary to succeed in film. You know. And I know that the way I came onto the show, I can guarantee you that there's not one student that I have had within the last 8 years that can literally walk onto a show and do what I did without having a nervous breakdown.
Right. Because just with you talking about the producers, you know, standing there while you were trying to do Jordan's makeup. I mean, that's nervous. I mean, for me, I mean, because I know on a hair and makeup trailer, I know, like, you know, some people will stand to a certain side of the chair or whatever. I use every bit of space all the way around the chair. So I know if I had somebody standing beside, over me, watching me do makeup, it would have been crazy because I probably would have been throwing elbows or something. Like, you know, they would get the message sooner or later to get out of my way. So I can just
I literally had gotten off a plane. I got up at 5 o'clock that morning, flew to Detroit. Then I worked all day, and when we wrapped, then I had to produce on Jordan. I had to do a beauty makeup from scratch on Jordan, where I didn't know real products were because I wasn't untapped yet. I don't even know how I did it, but it was like, and I pretty much just said to them, you want to see me put some eyelashes on and some lipstick? I guess you'll just sit there and watch, won't you? I said, because here I am proving myself all over again. Either you want me here for the job or you don't.
Right.
And I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off, but why do you think it was a situation where it seemed like you had to prove yourself? Is it because they weren't familiar with your work, or why do you think?
I think they had a concept in mind of what they wanted,
mm-hmm.
you know, and they weren't explaining it properly, and I don't think anybody got what they were looking for. I you know, because they don't come. Let's see. I don't know. Maybe they figured because I'm a little bit older. I don't know. Maybe they figured because I had a break in the industry. I'll never quite know.
Mm-hmm.
I'll never quite know. I guess maybe they didn't feel I could bring the element that they had in mind.
But the funny thing about it is you didn't call them. They called you.
Well, no kidding.
You know?
I don't know quite what it was. I've never been able to figure that out. You know, it was nerve wracking. Yeah, I'm not embarrassed or ashamed to say it was quite nerve wracking.
But Marietta, do they know who you are though? You've done X. I mean, that's a huge period movie.
You know, they come from different. You know, they come from a different. I don't know, you know, because my reputation has not been such as a quote unquote black makeup artist. You know that,
right? Exactly. I mean, you've done ghosts.
So that maybe had something to do with it. Maybe they didn't. I don't know. You never quite know what goes through people's minds. You know, but I just knew that all I could do was just be me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's all I could do was just be me, and you know, it was like, you know, I finally got it to my head. You have to prove yourself all over again, and that's you know, because my word wasn't good enough many a time. You know, and because you know, I know for a fact that they called a couple of people to vouch for me.
Mhm.
You know, and so you know, you're right, gorgeous ingredient, because some things are meant to be figured out. So
right.
I just said, you know what? I'm not gonna try to figure it out. I just
right.
did what I knew how to do to the best of my ability, and either they liked it or they didn't. And I just put it in God's hands, and I told that to my husband. I said, and I was pretty blunt, and I just said to him, I said, you'll make a decision. Either you want me to stay or you don't, and I'll be happy to leave within 3 days. I told you I'll come and I'll help you, but I'll be happy to leave within 3 days if you don't want me. Nothing personal. I said, if you want me to stay, let me know now.
Now, how long did the movie shoot before you started? Was it about a week or so, or?
They had been shooting about a week and a half, but you know, with a show that was a very limited, very condensed, compacted shooting schedule, a week and a half is like a month.
Yeah, exactly. That's a lot.
It's a lot.
Yeah.
So I came in, so there were so many different things that were done already that we had to recreate, and it was difficult to recreate them, you know, because I didn't have proper research to go off of.
Right.
You know, and you know, it's not like I came in with somebody who I've worked with before, who I could, it could just fall into place and stuff. No, I had to get to know everybody I was working with. They've got different rhythms of way of work, different ways of working. So it was quite tricky, very tricky.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and but we got it done, and you know, the local makeup artist who came in, she was really a strong key, and she really pulled the continuity together for me very, very tightly.
Right.
You know. You know. So it's all good. It's all good.
Yeah. Well, we're happy you have this opportunity, and we know, you know, big things are going to continue to come your way.
Oh, you know what? Like I said, it's all in God's hands, and I am grateful because I know what I bring to the table, and I know there's something to be said for experience when you're doing period movies.
Right.
And there's something to be said for experience when you're trying to run a show.
Right.
And those things really, you can't wing those things. You can't wing those things because they will come tumbling down.
Right.
You know, so it's all good. It's all good. No regrets. You know, no regrets. And I'm looking forward to see how it looks on screen. You know, and stuff. So it's, you know, it's all good.
I think it's going
to be. I'm so excited. I'm so excited about it and the promotion and the social media. Oh, my goodness gracious. It's wonderful. You know, I mean, with social media, it's really, they've really gotten it out there. I mean, I could truly say that they were very, very smart in how they use social media to market this movie.
Right.
Because they've left no stone unturned.
Right.
Because everybody is getting some kind of play. I mean, Ruth has gotten a lot of play. Kim Kimball's gotten a lot of play. The casting director, Twinkie Bird. Yeah, has gotten a lot of play. You know, show it. It's great. I mean, the Essence spread was wonderful.
Mhm.
So it's all good.
Yeah.
You know, it's all good. So I'm very excited about it. And when I see it all come together, it's going to be great because I mean, you know, it's like, each one of them light up the screen differently, and the men are fabulous.
Mm.
You know. The men are fabulous. So, yeah, I mean, it's all good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All good. You're right.
You know? I'm excited, you know? Because, you know, it's period, but it's period, but the little twist to make it so much more contemporary, it just adds such a dynamic element to it.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Well, maybe if we have, I'm trying to think of a contest to do for Sparkle. Maybe we can get. I think this is what I want everybody to do. I want everybody to take a picture of Mary at the credit on their cell phone.
That's going to be tricky to get. You know how fast those credits roll.
Yeah, that
is
true.
But if you can get it, you win the prize, though.
That's pretty funny. And get them thrown out. That's right, gorgeous.
And we'll
come,
we'll come up with a nicer contest as well. But that'll be one. But we'll come up with something.
Oh, no,
else
no.
Well.
You get
we'll
people thrown out of the theater. You know that, right?
But it's at the end. It's at the end. Well, how
where
about this? That doesn't have, that doesn't have to be the contest. But, you know, just for a good laugh, if you can get that credit, email it to me. Or post it on your Twitter account. That's going to be funny.
But we will come up with some kind of contest, though.
Mm-hmm.
We'll come up with a contest. That's a really neat contest.
Mm-hmm.
And follow Marietta's blog because something in her blog may help you win the contest. You just never know.
Oh, that's true.
Mm-hmm. Diary of a Makeup Artist.
Yep. So,
stay tuned for that. Well, thank you so much, Marietta, for joining us. We really appreciate it. And you hung out a little longer to talk a little while longer. I'm excited about
Sparkle. You're more than welcome. I'm always excited to be on here with you guys.
So, you know, I'm going to watch the movie, and then I'm going to be calling you. It's going to be
a lot. I can't wait. Listen, guys, go out there on Friday and support this movie.
Yes. Yes, yes, yes. Yes, definitely.
Go out there and support this movie. Because, you know, the music, I think it's going to flow beautifully. I really do. I think it's going to flow beautifully.
I think so.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's going to flow beautifully and stuff. You know, just the fashion, the hair, the makeup, the wardrobe, the music, just everything together.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I think you have to look at it as its own entity and not off of the first classic, the first one, you know what I mean? Because it's such a different feel.
Right. A lot of younger people aren't even going to know anything about the other one.
No. They're not. You know, I mean, you know, it's such a different feel. So it's all exciting because you know this one is shot so differently.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's shot so differently. I think we're going to all enjoy it. You know, when you see it, like a comedian like Mike Apps, you know, up there doing something serious, you know. He's so good in it. He's so good.
Yeah.
And Omari Hardwick and Omari and Derek, I mean, they all really, the men are really great. And you know, they look great.
Yeah.
The men's fashions are just as fabulous as the women's fashions in this movie. That's what's going to be amazing, you know. That's what's going to be quite enjoyable.
Right.
They're pretty dapper, you know. I mean, they take you back. So it's going to be exciting.
So basically, is this correct in my thinking? We're gonna post a question to our Beauty Talk with the Illusions page, and the answer
our blog
is going to
well.
Be in Marietta's blog.
Yeah. Yeah, so you're going to have to read the whole blog.
Right.
Okay.
And first person to respond with the correct answer gets the prize.
Okay.
And, you know,
when do we close the contest? Next Sunday?
Okay,
yeah.
That'll be good.
Yeah, because they have to go see the movie, and my blog is going to be ongoing, but the it's something within the blog during the course of the week.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Absolutely.
Oh,
so,
gorgeous and greedy. What do you mean if you don't read that?
Are you guys in the chat room?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's pretty funny. This is really, I mean, you guys are great. I love what you guys are doing, you know? I love what you guys are doing. So this is so enticing for makeup artists and stuff. It's so wonderful.
Thank you.
Because you really spotlight quite a few people, and that's wonderful. I mean, that's great. And if people don't even get a chance to tune in, what's wonderful, you can go back and pull up all the podcasts and listen.
Yep. Just to let everybody know, Blog Talk Radio, I sent a message to them because I was very upset about last Sunday, and there was some kind of network problem that they were having all across the entire
Blog
Talk Radio network.
I tried so hard.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, they could not record anyone's show last week. So even though it was showing to us that it was recording, they weren't able to save anyone's show from last week. So that interview with David was great, and we don't have it. So you couldn't go back to listen to it. So we are going to have to reschedule David for another show.
You know what? I was out of the country, and I couldn't even pull it up to go into the chat room. I couldn't even do anything. I was having a really difficult time. And I thought, okay, why can't I get this show? Something's wrong.
Mm-hmm. That's why.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's why. It was crazy. I've never, I don't think I've ever experienced anything like that from Blog Talk Radio, but
I know, because I mean, we've been doing this for what, 4 years now, and not once have we not had a show recorded, not once.
But he is the nicest guy, so I really,
yeah.
I can't wait to have him on again.
Yes, and that interview, we talked about so much, and it was just, I can't even go back and refer to it. I mean, I was like, you know, at least if you could have recorded it, even if nobody else could hear it, at least we could go back and hear it, but nothing. So nothing?
Do
it all over again. Nothing at
all. Wow.
I wanted to go, I was thinking, let me go check iTunes to see, but they weren't able to save anything, so it's not even going to be out on iTunes. But shows are out on iTunes for those.
Yeah, that's how I listen to them.
Okay, yeah. So...
Yeah, that's
how
I listen to
it. It was wonderful. So, again, we thank you, Marietta. We're going to get that contest started, so we'll be in contact with you about that. And we want everyone else to go out and support this weekend. And let us all know what you think about the movie and the hair and makeup. I love period pieces, so I can't wait to see this, and then just to see the movie as a whole. So I may see it more than once, because, you know, the first time I'm going to be looking for things, and then the second time I'm going to just, you know, be really into it. So, but both times I'm going to be looking for Marietta's name, that's for sure. And look, I'm going to take my camera with my zoom lens just so I can sit where I normally like to sit, but also get her name close up.
Oh, you are really going to be asking for trouble then.
Yeah, I'm going to be acting crazy. Because I'm so excited. I'm so excited for you.
Thank you.
It's going to be a big thing.
I'm really excited too. You guys are great. Thank you so much for your support over the years. It's just the best.
Well, you know, you've always been our makeup mentor.
Way back when, from LA.
Way back.
Yes, I will never forget it. Never forget it. So, I mean, we've just learned so much from you, just hearing you talk about different things, and, you know, sitting in on some of your sessions at the different shows, and just talking on the phone with you and stuff like that. We've learned so much. So much from you just that way. So I can't wait till we all work together.
I know.
That's
one day, huh?
One day.
Soon. It's coming.
I live so close to you. Hint, hint.
I know.
Right.
Hey,
right.
Don't worry. Hint, hint.
Yeah, it's
don't
coming.
Don't worry.
It is coming. All right, so all of those of you out there who are listening, if you like tonight's show, go out and mark it as a favorite. Continue to follow us on Facebook and Twitter, and listen out for this new contest, this new Sparkle contest with Marietta Carter-Narcisse. And go out and support the movie this weekend, if possible. And let us all know what you think about the makeup and the hair and, you know, what you think about the movie overall. And we will be making announcements soon about next week's guest. So stay posted. And we will talk to you guys again next week. Have a good night. Thank you, Marietta.
Good night. Oh, thank you. Have a wonderful evening.
You're welcome.
You too.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.